this morning. In Acts 17, verses number 16, please, in your Bible, verses 16 up to verse number 31. Acts 17, we begin reading verse number, can you please hire Pastor Dong sa tong mic? Verse 16 to 31. We have a responsive reading tonight. Are you ready for the blessing of God's word? Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." For thou bring us certain strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what things these things mean. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, "For we are also his offspring." And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. I would like for you to remain standing as I read verse 30 and 31. This is where actually we get the message of the word of God tonight. And God, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Remain standing, please, for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for what we have witnessed tonight. Thank you for those songs. Songs that have inspired us. Songs that truly encourages us in serving thee. And thank you, Lord, And thank you for everything. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen and amen. Kindly be seated this evening. We have a good crowd tonight. We thank the Lord for that. I'm speaking a subject this evening entitled, The Day When God Will Finally Judge the World. The day when God finally stand on the judgment seat. When God finally judge the world. Verse 31, because He hath appointed a day. There is just one day, not days, but there will come a day. One day God will sit as judge to all of us. Remember this, not days, but one day God will act as a judge. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Remember that. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In John 5, verse 22, John chapter 5, 22, for the Father judgeth no man. Listen to this. The Father, God the Father, judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. In other words, it will be Jesus Christ who will act as the final judge. God the Father will not be our judge, but He has committed the judgment day into the hands of His Son. It's very clear. John 5, 26, 27. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because the reason why God appoints His Son to be the final judge, because He is the Son of Man. It doesn't say because He is the Son of God, but because He is the Son of Man, which I will expound later on. And so He is the Son of Man. At this particular time in Acts 17, Paul was at Athens, a place called Athens. Verse 22, he says there, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Too superstitious, he says. For as I passed by, verse 23, and beheld your devotions, the religious devotions, I found an altar which, with this inscription. They said there were more idols during the time in Athens than people. And people coming from all over the world, all places, they would come there and they would surely find their idols in their own land. And so if somebody comes into the place called Athens and looks around and he sees that none of his idols from where he came from is being set there, and you know what the Athenians would say? Well, you have your God there, the unknown God. That's your God. Go ahead there. I beheld your devotion and found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Paul took it as referring to his God. His God is the judge, ultimate judge. His God is the sovereign God. His God is the true God. But unfortunately, those people did not know the real God that we are supposed to worship. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him, he says, declare I unto you. And look at verse number 24. And He is the God that made the world and all things. And He shows them that they had lost These people had lost the knowledge of the true God that made them. The crime he charges upon those people is that they suppose that God inhabited those images. Ang ilang pagtuo nga ang Diyos nagpuyo sa matag ribulto nga naa sa Athens. And so those were their thoughts. It is time for you to be told, Paul said to the Word of God, that there is but one God. You have so many gods. You are worshiping many gods. But I'm here to tell you that there is but one true God. Open your Bible, please, in Jeremiah 10, verse number 2. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 2. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. But the custom of the people are vain. One cutteth the tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, and it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must be burned because they cannot go. That's the description of Paul. Jeremiah, about the gods of the people. Verse 24, as we go back to our text. Now he is the God that made the world and all things therein. He's the true God. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Verse 26, he is the creator of men. All men. Verse 26, he made one blood of all nations of men. Verse 25, he giveth life to all, breath and all things. Verse number 25, verse 26, he is the sovereign. Listen to this. God is the sovereign disposer of all the affairs of the children of men. Why? Because look at verse number 26. For he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their limitation or habitations. See here, the sovereignty of God's disposal concerning us. Why? Every one of us, God is sovereign. And only God dictates. Kabubuton lang sa Ginoo ang mahitabo sa tuwa. We can never say, this is my life. And who is God anyhow? Trying to judge me, trying to govern my life. I want you to know that the sovereignty of God, now find here God's disposal concerning us. He hath determined every event. The disposal of providence are incontestable. Whatever God disposes, whatever God does, whatever God leads, and must not be disputed. Listen to this. Every event, the disposal of God's providence are incontestable and must not be disputed. You stop disputing God. You stop debating God. You stop rebelling God. Verse 28. He's not far from every one of us. He's everywhere present. He's infinite spirit. That is, he is not far from anyone of us. Verse number 26 here. But Paul said there in verse number 28, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, we are his offspring. Listen to this. God, verse number 29, God cannot be represented by an image. For as much then, verse 29, that we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, unto silver, unto stone, graven by art and man's device. Listen to that. God cannot be represented by an image. Listen to this. We ought not to think that Godhead is like unto gold, or think that He is like silver or stone, or given by art and man's device. Psalm 115, verses 3 to 9. In Exodus 20, verse 23, people would say, well, we don't really worship those idols. They just simply represent God to us. They remind us to us. We are making this for God, actually. We're not rebelling God. You know, these idols are all meant to worship God, to remember God. Remember, if you have loved one living away from you, like, for example, somebody among your loved ones is living in the States, and you want to remember them, you want to put the picture there. Oh, that might be true with your relatives, but not with God, because God is present everywhere. Every time you claim God, God is omnipresent. God is all-powerful. He is not far from us. Is there an amen to that? Verse 30, 31, Paul proceeds to call all to repent of their idolatry, because he hath appointed a day, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Listen to this. God will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. No other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he says, God raising Christ from the dead, he raised him from the dead because he had appointed, verse 31, a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man is no other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom he hath ordained. This is my son, God says, in whom I am well pleased. Whereof he hath given assurance. Listen to this. Unto all men. What assurance? What did he do? In that he hath raised his son from the dead. You know, the fact that God raised his son from the dead is a message to all of us tonight, that one of these days, God will judge all of us by that man. By that man, the man, Jesus Christ. People would say, well, we're not really worshiping those idols. They just represent God to us. But Exodus 20:23 says, you shall not make with me gods of silver. Even if you mean it for God, you set up those idols to mean that you worship, you remember God. God, that's idolatry. For he that worship God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you are to worship God, you can only worship God properly. You can only worship God rightly if you hear the word of God. You don't find any kind of idol here. Last thing Pastor Shah told me, one of the last things he told me, said, Anselmo, if ever I'm gone, I die, please do not ever put any of my pictures around the church. I have his picture and his wife in my office, but not for the consumption of everyone. Because we don't want people to worship man. There's only one object that we worship here. There's only one object. There's only one that we praise here, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. All our singings, all our preaching are all devoted to that person, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God hath appointed a day, and he has assured all men that that will happen. He has raised his son from the dead. And I say, we worship tonight a living Christ. We worship tonight a living Savior, victorious, reigning in the right hand of God the Father. And because of that, let me say this, let all his enemies be assured of it. Let all his enemies tremble before him. Why? Because one of these days, people disobey God, people reject Christ, but one of these days, they will be facing him. Let them tremble before him. But we as his people must be assured of it, must triumph in Him. Why? Because one of these days, our Lord Jesus Christ will reign as a final judge. That's my introduction. Number one, God will finally judge the world. Whether you like it or not, and at the times of His ignorance, verse 30, God winked at. What does it mean? It seems that God allowed the idolatries. In the Bible, there are seven great dispensational periods for you to understand this. Dispensation of innocence, conscience, human government, and then you have the promise, you have the law, you have grace, and you have kingdom. I said dispensation of innocence, that's the way you divide the Bible. That's the way you determine your doctrine. You don't get lost there. You have the dispensation of innocence, dispensation of conscience, dispensation of human government, the dispensation of the law, the dispensation dispensation of promise. You have the law, you have grace, and you have the kingdom. First, you have the dispensation of innocence, and then conscience, and then human government. It was during that time, Acts chapter 14, verse number 6. Now, in those times, those were the times where the Bible says, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Now, you find it in Genesis 9, Genesis 10, Genesis 11, that idolatry was set up. There they had the Tower of Babel under the leadership of Mr. Nimrod, the great hunter, not hunter because of being expert hunter, but he was hunter actually of souls. He was the destroyer. They set up that Tower of Babel. That was the beginning of man's rebellion. They rebel against God's ways. And God there turned His back. He allowed the nations to walk in their own ways, to do their idolatry, whatever they want. And now Paul is telling the Athenians, God winked at. God did not permit it. God did not overlook it, but He just simply allowed them to do whatever they want. Oh, what purpose? Giving them the chance to repent, giving them the chance to be rich with the Word of God. And so look at this, please. God, because He had appointed a day, listen to this, in which He will judge the world. Now listen, God is so by right the supreme and absolute ruler and disposer of all things, both in the natural and moral world. Look at this page. Let me say that again. You need to understand this doctrine in the Word of God. God is by right. Nobody can question God. He's the supreme, the absolute ruler, the disposer of all things, both in the natural and moral world. Say it with me. Natural and moral world. He is supreme. God governs the sun. God governs like the singing tonight. God governs the moon. God governs the stars. Until now, they are still faithfully following, rotating on their orbits without bumping with each other. Why? Because God dictates until now, siya nagmando sa bulan, siya nagmando sa adlaw, kaya mo atras na 1 degree, mabimutang maaista, and ahead 1 degree, pwede ta masunog tanan, but God ordains that the Son will obey Him. Why? Because He is the supreme ruler, both of the natural world and the moral world. Let me show you a verse, please, to understand that doctrine. In Job chapter 9, verse number 1 to verse number 8. I do not have to read that because time is limited. Now let the natural world, look at the natural world. God dictates even the winds, even the sea. You know what God says? The Word of God says, what manner of man is this? That even the waves and the sea obey him. Can you imagine? What manner they all wondered with Jesus Christ, said, unsang klase kini nga tao, that even the winds and the sea, when he said, peace be still, and there was calm. And they all looked at each other and said, what manner of man is this? Even the big waves obey his command. The Bible says in Matthew 10:29-30, are not two sparrows sold for a parting, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's approval. Not one of them. You count the millions and the trillions, bulinaw sa dagat. Not one of them would die without the permission of God. Ang tanang amiga sa kalibutan, I say pila ka trillions, not one of them will die without the permission. Why? Because He is absolutely in control of everything. Even the very hair of your head are all counted by God. Walay usa ka lugas imong buhok nga mahagbong nga wala gi-permit sa Ginoo. He is in control of everything. He can command nature. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, he passes by and he look up to a fig tree, walay bunga, then he cursed that fig tree right there and then it withered. Immediately as he issues his word, nakalit o kanang kaluya o kalaya ang tanom. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, the Creator, has all the power to govern nature. God is so by right, the supreme and absolute ruler and disposer of all things, both in the natural and moral world. God governs the animal creatures. Let me say it again. God governs the animal creatures. In Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And he counts all the trillions and trillions of stars, and he names them. He has a name for every one of them. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. Listen to this. By his provision, he orders according to his own degrees all events concerning those creatures. Na maski sa kabuklanggam, walay mahagbong nga dili kabuton sa Dios. It's amazing. It's amazing. He also governs not only the natural world, the animal creatures, nature, are all in subjection to His command, His will, and His purpose. But He also governs the rational creatures. Word rational means reasonable. The moral creature. Moral means the ability to determine which is right and wrong. We are not like the beast. We are created unlike the beast. Kamautamo determine unsay mali, unsay dili. We are rational, moral beings. That means you and me. Di lamang ambang bulinaw, ang alanggam, gigovern si Ginoo, nature gigovern si Ginoo, but all of us must be under His government. And they are subject to the same sort of government. All their actions, listen to this, all events relating to them, being ordered by superior providence, according to the absolute decrees, so that no event that relates to them ever happens without the disposal of God. The rule of His government, is that God's, remember this, His rule in governing us, ang pamalaod,
Ang pasikaran sa pamalaot sa Ginoo for all of us is God's wise decrees. And nothing else. God's wise decrees that you can never question, God, why did you allow this? God, why did you allow this? You must have forgotten things. God upholds all things. All rational creatures, because they are intelligent, because they are voluntary agents, are subject of a government called moral government. Amen? God, you say, how come God, what right does He has? Nga nung kinahanglan makugobernuhan sa Ginoo. NPA ko, ako'y gobyerno. Ako'y gobyerno sa kagalingon. Why do I have to submit to the government of God? Why do I have to face Him finally in that judgment? I don't like it. I don't want to think that I am under God's government. God, listen to this. God has all the right to act as the sovereign ruler of the world by reason of His infinite greatness and excellency. Because He's above. Solomon said, Lord of Israel, there is no God like Thee in heaven above or in earth or on earth beneath. Number two, God has also the right to act as the supreme ruler of the world by reason, number two, of the absolute dependence of every creature on Him. Ida obi, bawi ang kasi Ginoo, lima ka minutos nga hangin. Tanawag mo, survive ka. Every ounce of life we own today, every amount of breath that comes into our lungs, every amount of food we eat, water we drink, every step we take, gikan tanan sa Ginoo. We're totally dependent. We can never say, I have done this. I have earned this. No! God is the supreme supplier of everything. Kaya kung why ginawa ka? Stop saying, kinsa man ang ginawa? God, remember this, has all the right to act as the supreme ruler of the world by reason of the absolute dependence of every creature on Him. Verse 28 in our text, for in Him we live, in Him we move, and have our being. All creatures, rational creatures, are wholly derived from, and every moment are wholly dependent upon Him for being and for all good, so that they are properly His possession. Ingon tungo sa ka, scientist, gikapoy na kunin mo Ginoo. Imo tanang credit. Kami na ning kamot ming mga scientist, wagid mi credit. Ikapoy na ko ni mo! Tanawag diha kay magkontesta. Sige na, sige, manawag ko. Karon magkontest kita. Siya sa may itong kontest yung Ginoo. Mag-ibot ang tao! Ikaw ra ba na ikamao? Kamao po ko. Sa unya, unsa man eh, sugod taron! Sa kinsa may una, ako yung una! Sige, paghimog tao. Ah, ano din itong scientist? Kuha din sa lapok. Oh, papahingin o. Ay, kisang lapok, ako na, paghimog imo. Amen ba? Ay, kung makaasta tamotag kinsa, ako ni. Doon ay nagtinigbasay dito sa mga, kaya naman, gisurbe sa Bureau of Lands, ibutangan ka ng landmark mohon. Pagkaugma, gabi, kadlaon yung gibalin ng mohon. Para muda ko iha. Kuha dito kusundan. Ako ni! Watay ato dire. Amen ba? Everything comes from the Lord. There is a time coming when God will finally judge the world, the whole world of mankind. God's final judgment will be more glorious display of His majesty and dominion. When that time comes, remember a day. Karon wala sa gila sa mga judges. wala sa gila sa mga leaders sa kalibutan, wala general na gila sa iya. There are few, but as a whole, he's rejected. God's final judgment will be more glorious display of God's majesty and dominion. It will be more glorious because it will be more open. It will be public. It will be solemn. Although God now actually exercises the most sovereign dominion over all the earth, although He reigns in Odna and does all things according to His own will, although He is actually judge in the earth, yet He rules after more hidden and secret manner. Ang iyang pag-rule karon sa kalibutan, di nimo sa makita. In so much as it is common among the proud sons of men to refuse acknowledging His dominion. Wicked men question the very existence of God. There are many of the kings and the great men of the earth do not have the knowledge of God, which is above them, the greater part of the government of the world today. Even the United Nations are always denying. They refuse acknowledging the government of God. But one of these days, they will cry to the mountains and say, "Fall on us. The great judgment has come, and who shall be able to stand?" God will finally put an end of all the things, all these things, all the rebellion. The world belongs to the God of Israel. They refuse Him, but they do not know that the world, this world, belongs to the God of Israel and the God of the Christians. They instead have paid homage to worship other imaginary deities like the people in Athens. Satan is behind all of this. Satan has usurped dominion. He has set himself as God in opposition to the true God. God will finally put end of all these things, thank God. It will be in the most open and public manner. God will manifest His dominion over all the inhabitants of the earth. Everybody will recognize. God may not be now visibly present on earth, dispensing judgment like the visible way people, the kings of the earth, do. Yet, at the conclusion of this earth, God will judge the world. Whether you like it or not, you may refuse. It's hard for you to bow down here in this altar. You know what? Nay, mga Christians, why pakialam sa pulpito? They have been burdened by the Holy Spirit, but they are so wise to their own thinking. They are so strong. They are so proud of themselves. One of these days, you will bow down before God. You will submit to the authority of God, whether you like it or not. And lastly, amen. God, the world will finally be judged by Jesus Christ. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Who is that man? Who's that man? Jesus Christ. By that man. The person by whom God will judge the world is Jesus Christ. The God, tangini mo das man. God das man. Not God and man, no. God nay das and then man. He's the second person of the Trinity. Here's a question. Since katapusan naman ni, ang daman niyo dang hukad sa silong. Nay among hukad niya sa SM dapit, pero mahal man to. Here's a question. Why is Christ appointed to judge the world? Ask the question. It's a deep question. It's a doctrinal question. Somebody might ask you, what did your pastor preach today? We have learned from the preaching of our pastor that Jesus Christ will finally judge the world. The question is, why is Christ appointed to judge the world rather than the Father? Di ba di pwede ang God the Father or the Holy Spirit? Why is it the Son? Number one, Ngunit tubag. Listen to this. I hope this will add to your theology. Number one, God sees it exactly reasonable, God Himself, that He who is in human nature should be judge of those who are of human nature. Pag nakaisala and you're facing, you know, case in court, and you know that the judge will finally render his verdict, kung naka sa Pilipinas, you expect na ang judge Filipino. Because somehow, you know, circumstances will be properly evaluated. And circumstances can contribute to mitigating, you know, circumstances can mitigate your case. Pwede na siya mahilot-hilot because kanang judge nakasabot nga Pilipino ka, na unsa tan-aw nimo pag-abot nimo, ang judge karon naglingkod Chinese. Ang judge karon Japanese. Ang judge karon Aprikano. So nanguro ka na sa wa ba ni kasabot sa kung sitwasyon dire. Unya ang verdict karon gipagawas, again, say mo, say, oh, di ko! Muapilar ko nga naman. Ang judge, turko, wala ko kailana, wala kasabot sa kuha. Nasabtan sa Ginoo that we will, those who are in human nature, must be somebody, he was tempted in all points like as we are. Of course, without sin. Kasabot siya sa mga circumstances. Hindi kakadili sa iya, so Christ properly. John 5:22. God hath given authority him authority. John 5:27 to execute judgment because he is, listen to this, because he is the Son of God. Is that right? But because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. And upon this fact is based the authority of Christ Jesus the Lord to act as righteous judge of all men. His judgment here has to do with his humanity. As the Son of Man, he will judge all men because he fully understands men. He experienced everything we experience, of course, without sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Therefore, experimentally, he has a full understanding of human conditions. That's the reason why. Amen? You know, when Job, during the time of Job, 2,000 years before Christ, Job felt he was not upon even terms with God. Alcansisa. It was not equally fair. You know what he says? If I can only take God to court, kung pwede pa lang ako i-demand ang Ginoo. But he's not the man as I am. Di siya kasabot sa kuha. I wish there is someone, a days man, somebody who acts as our mediator, somebody who understands both God and me, somebody who lays his hands on God because he's God, he understands the case of God. And also lays his hand on me as human being because he is man. Thank God Jesus Christ became man. He is God. Yes, 100% God. He is also man because he came down and took our humanity. So therefore he understands. He understands. He gave himself 700 before years before his birth, Isaiah called him man of sorrow. When he was here, he was called Son of Man repeatedly. When he was crucified, Pilate said, "Behold the man." After his resurrection, Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see heaven open and the Son of Man." Wa pa siya matao, he's called the Son of Man. When he was here on earth, repeatedly he was referred to as Son of Man. When he was crucified, he was considered Son of Man. When he resurrected and ascended back to heaven, he is the Son of Man still. And he is coming. When he is coming to judge as the Son of God, now the Son of Man. By that man. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of God, Son, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. I have no more time. Christ is appointed to be the judge of the world, to render final conviction of all the unsaved. Listen to this. He will judge the unsaved. He will be the one to send you to hell. He's now your Savior. You can receive Him. I have plenty of pages yet, but I will close it. One of these days He will stand. The same Jesus was arraigned in the court of men, was unfairly judged in the court of men. Is it not just fair that those who have judged Him, those who have crucified Him, someday will stand and be crucified and be judged by Him? Remember this, all your reaction, all your response to Him, to Jesus Christ. What shall we do with Christ, which is called the Christ? What shall I then do with Christ, which is called with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Your response will greatly determine the kind of judgment that Jesus renders one of these days. You reject Him today, and He will reject you. You curse Him today, and He will curse you. You need to be saved tonight. You need to come and be saved tonight. Let us all stand up. Please, Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, save the lost. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to sing an invitation song. This is a special, special Sunday for us. So, kung mo extend the gamay ng minutos, I know it will not hurt you. We've been here for 62 years. So, medyo senior citizen na atong church. So, medyo dugay-dugay na. So ay magkatinga lang, dugay man ang serbisyo. Senior naman ato simbahan. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get serious. Tonight is the time. What will you do with Jesus? Be saved. Be saved. Christians, whatever you do with Jesus Christ will determine the kind of judgment you'll be facing Him, the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to face Him? If you're not saved, you'll be facing Him at the great white throne judgment. Are you ready to face Him? You need to be saved. You need to be fully dedicated as Christian. Continue serving Him, committing your life to Him. Maybe you just want tonight, this is the Thanksgiving service of our church, and we have seen the faithfulness of God. Maybe you just need to come and kneel down and pray. You need to pray for the pastor. You need to pray for the church. You need to pray for the minister of the church. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for the family, your families. If you're not saved, I invite you. I beg you, come. We're going to sing an invitation song, Brother Mark. What song?
Let's sing song number 90, Jesus 90. I Come.
Just a few minutes, we will be out. 90, what song is that?
Jesus I Come.
Jesus I Come. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and shame. Jesus, say it, Jesus. Jesus I Come. Jesus I Come. Come on now. Come on now, Jesus I Come. Jesus I Come. Come on now. Christians, maybe you need to come for Thanksgiving prayer, whatever it is. God deserves to hear it from you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you are and for everything that you have done. As we sing verse 1, whatever you need, you come. As we sing, come on now, say it. Say it, yes, Lord. You need to come to be saved. Yes, Lord, come. You need to come to be saved. You come tonight. Come, come on. Before it's too late, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive Him tonight. Receive Him tonight. Come on, come on now. Come and say yes. How about you? Be saved. Come on, be saved. Your chance to receive Jesus Christ. Come on, say yes. Come now. Come, be saved. You need prayer. You need to express thanksgiving to God. You come, Sir Greg. Will you come? Come on, come on now. Come on now, say yes. Yes, be saved. Be saved. Your chance to be saved. You come tonight. You come. Will you come? Will you say yes to God? Say yes, yes now. Come on. Come. Come. Be saved. Be saved. Just come.
Come be saved tonight. If you are not yet saved, now is the night for you to be saved. Diri sa tubangan. Next verse, please. If there's something you want to thank God for, please come tonight. Tonight, today is our Thanksgiving service. God has blessed us tremendously. Now is the night for you to thank God. Now probably is the night for you to serve God, to serve here in the church. Serve God to the fullest before the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Remember, all of us will be judged. Come to the altar. Be saved and serve God. Serve God. Come to the altar. Come on. Come to the altar. And be saved. Come to the altar and pray. Come to the altar and thank God. Come to the altar and pray. If there's something that is heavy in your heart, come to the altar. The altar is here. This is the right place for you to pray, just like the prophets of old. They came to the altar and pray earnestly to God of all their prayers and petitions. Come.